What's going on, guys? Thanks for tuning into the Local Crown Podcast, where we're going to teach you how to wage war on your competition and earn your local crown, also known as the top spot on Google.
What's up, Local Crown entrepreneurs? I am your host, Antonia, and today we have Jonathan Pitchard here with us today, and I'm going to have him go ahead and tell us a little bit about himself. Who are you? What are you into? How'd you get to where you are today?
Well, that is a very, very long and winding road. Long story short is I grew up being interested by magic tricks. In college, I specialized in mind reading tricks. And then beyond that, I got interested in the psychology behind why any of this stuff is possible in the first place. And that kind of unlocked the matrix for influence and applied psychology and all sorts of fun stuff. So I decided to leverage those skills for good and not evil. And now I help companies be more effective at serving their customers. So that's kind of the long journey.
Awesome. Yeah, that sounds like something, two pretty random things coming together in like a really cool way. What gave you like the idea to kind of pull it into businesses exactly and start helping entrepreneurs with, you know, a mind reading magical background?
I have to admit that some of the motivation is petty, just so you know, because I would read business books to help my own career and do that kind of a thing. And then every single time that an author would talk about the psychology of sales, the psychology of negotiation, I would think, I know this stuff better than they do. And I can actually demonstrate it in ways that they can't, because my whole 70-minute theater show is nothing but influence and persuasion and applied psychology. So I can demonstrate these principles in uniquely entertaining ways that most business trainers or consultants can only talk about this story that they made up about this client who's not real, right? to illustrate a point. And then I could actually walk my audience through it so that they experience it instead of just hearing a secondhand anecdote about some person that doesn't even exist. So that's why I went, okay, I need to kind of share what I know. That was the petty beginning. But thinking back, having people kind of follow up with me after a show, and they're in the autograph line, and then they ask me, like, how in the world did you get started doing this? And kind of talk to them about growing up poor in the mountains of North Carolina and then being a world traveling entertainer. That's a pretty wacky story to begin with. And then a couple years later, start getting emails back saying, hey, thanks so much for talking to me. I don't even know if you remember me, but you shared some ideas that completely blew my mind, and here's what I'm doing now because of it. So I just wanted to say thank you. That was when I knew it actually had some value to share with people. So that was the kind of the beginning of going, okay, this, the way I think about life and business and relationships might be useful to people at scale. And then that was what kind of kept me going.
Awesome. Yeah, that's really cool that, like, you know, you started to see the value you were providing when you kind of didn't even intend to go that direction in the first place and really focus on that. But that's really awesome that it came back around.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. So on that topic of just kind of moving into a business and I guess gaining traction, do you have any kind of recommendations? Because I feel like, you know, someone going in at a young age to a business and trying to get that, you know, trust or that first kind of meeting, I guess, like that first really good relationship. How do you gain that when you're kind of bringing something random into an area?
Yeah, it's a really sharp question and one of the most difficult to do well, because everybody wants fast results. So they use fast tactics that won't last. So to me, the fundamental assumption that we're making is that you have something worth marketing in the first place. That really is step one. And a lot of folks jump that step, right? So baseline, make sure your goods, your services, your whatever it is that you're selling, make sure that it's up to standard. And then you've got something to offer. Then you work on improving your offer. And really the only way to make it work is to radically focus on what your prospective client actually wants and values. Because you can talk about yourself. I mean, that's why I'm on this podcast, talk about myself. But the whole focus is on helping people understand you can help them get what they want. So part of the way that I do that is, okay, if you could actually read minds, ethical concerns aside, and whether or not you would want to, just saying, if you actually could, how would your business or life be better? Really have people think that through, because then they could go, oh, I would use that to know who to date. Oh, that would be really useful in negotiations. I would know who to trust. All those details, you can help them without actually having to read minds. It's all just communication skills. So when you're trying to pitch and to build trust, you have to have the confidence through knowing you're competent and then explain, I'm going to help you get X. And you better know what your prospect wants and what they're thinking, because a lot of folks go, oh, I could help you scale. They try to hit me up on LinkedIn for virtual assistants and that kind of a thing. I don't want that. I don't want to automate my relationships. You think an automated system is going to facilitate my human connection better than I can? So they're pitching something that not only do I not want, I actively avoid. So I don't care how much they're trying to build trust with me. They're trying to pitch something that I think is actively bad for my business. So make sure you know what your customer wants and needs, and then put your service in terms of helping them do that more so than, I work really hard, I'm really honest. Those are all things they're going to find out by working with you. But first, you have to know them and know what they need to be able to start a conversation with them.
Awesome. Yeah, I think that's so true. I think automated things nowadays, they're just so hard to deal with sometimes, and they cut a big chunk of, you know, you having a relationship, which I feel is so important in a business with like whoever you are dealing with at the time.
Exactly. Use the systems to facilitate your human relationships, not replace them.
Yeah. Wow. That's awesome. Yeah. I totally agree with that. And I think a lot of businesses today think that the speed and ease of an automated system is worth the kind of lack of a relationship, but I'm sure that you would find different in many ways.
Right. Because I'm not interested in selling a million widgets a million widgets at $1 to a million people. I want to have a few clients to do really meaningful work that is extraordinarily valuable to them as a business or as a person. Whoever I work with, it's going to be a multi-dimensional, multi-month kind of thing that can't be delivered at scale. And that's awesome. That means it's super valuable, which means negotiations are a lot of fun. The working relationship is a lot of fun, and I can make money working with few people to make a big impact on how well their business is going. So yeah, like it, sure. If you want that scalable widget kind of success, awesome. For me, that's not what I'm chasing.
Yeah. Awesome. And you know, growth is still just as productive and moving at the same time. And I feel like you are really solid in your growth, that you're not going to lose those great relationships you've already built.
Right. And in One of my mentors told me, he goes, listen, it's easy to get hired anywhere once. It's being brought back. That's impressive. So I want to work again and again for the same clients rather than try to have to go find a new client every single time. So that kind of churn and burn growth through attrition to me is not successful. Working with the same client for 10 years. I've got some clients that the first engagement I did with them was over 10 years ago. And then I still do a couple engagements every year for 10 years. Like, that's the kind of steady relationship that I want that most people don't consider as growth.
Yeah.
Right. Most people think growth is new or a different client instead of sustaining relationships through time. To me, that is growing that trust. And that's the kind of success and growth that I'm looking for.
Yeah. Wow. That's really powerful. Just like the whole concept of it really hits home for a lot of entrepreneurs. That the bringing back is what you really should be focused on, and going back to the client and constantly having that work ethic and moving with them together. So yeah, that's awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah. Going back to kind of your startup and everything with performing, I think that honestly, that's something that is really into business in a different way that I don't think a lot of people think about. So when you are working, in a sense, are you feeling like there's ways that you are performing as your like magic side and the psychology side? And how did you kind of get past any nervous feeling of when you were first starting to perform or when you're, you know, kind of on the spot? How do you move past that?
Mm-hmm. 100%. I see them as the same thing. Whether I'm coming in as a sales trainer, whether I'm coming in as a trade show lead gen trainer and in booth attractor, it's all performing. It's just all performing. And going in with a script, knowing what I'm going to do, knowing my audience, then I've got the confidence to know that I'm going to bring this to a successful conclusion. For me, the only time that I'm nervous is when it's a dynamic where I don't have control, like going out for national television or America's Got Talent, where the producers may not have my best interests at heart. They want a great TV show, which might include showing how my secret methods are working to embarrass me, and that's entertaining to the audience rather than making me look great. So knowing that kind of Faustian bargain is what I'm going in for, you just kind of accept that's the dynamic, and then you enter into that. That would make me nervous. That has made me nervous. Other than that, I just get excited to do what I do and connect with an audience, which is why I think of myself as an audience engagement specialist. Okay. And every business wants to engage their audience, whether it's customers or their employees. They have a message, whether it's marketing or internal, that they need to deliver to their audience. So I'm the conduit that connects their message to the audience in a fun, memorable, and kind of meaningful, engaging kind of a way. And that skill is extraordinarily valuable to every company on planet Earth. So that's why, to me, whether it's entertainment or education or wherever you want that slider to be between those two that I'm being asked to do, I'm just stoked to be able to facilitate that kind of connection between people and ideas. So yeah, I get excited to go to work instead of nervous.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I think that someone should, when they're not as excited about it or they can't control the situation, like you said, the less control you feel you have, or the, I guess, less prepared you are, then the more nervous you're going to be, correct?
Right. And early on, like when I was a almost a teenager, and I was first getting into kind of doing tricks for my friends and family. That was nerve-wracking because they're my friends and family. I've known them for years. I'm going to keep knowing them for years. If I mess up, they're going to razz me about it every time they see me, every single time, forever. So that's a different kind of stakes.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, so I was super nervous and very, very shy as a kid, like ultra shy. I'm extraordinarily introverted. I can go weeks without seeing somebody and I'm perfectly fine and actively love that. So I don't feed off the energy of the crowd and I need to be in front of an audience. That's just kind of occupational hazard. But early on, I would be super, super anxious and in stage fright because everybody's looking at me and, oh my Lord, what am I going to do? But I had a mentor who I learned his whole show. I knew his scripts. I knew all of his jokes. I knew it all inside and out. And he goes, yeah, just use that. Do like, why not do what you know works? Just take my whole show, do it. So then I would go perform downtown for party money on the sidewalk. So it's called busking, right? So I would perform on the sidewalk and pass the hat and people would throw dollars in there. And that's how I'd go party on the weekends. So knowing your script inside and out, whatever that script means for you, whether it's a sales conversation or a negotiation, good negotiations pretty much follow the same patterns. Good sales conversations pretty much follow the same patterns. A good client relationship pretty much follows the same patterns. So if you're trying to figure this out on your own for the first time, you're doing that on hard mode. Go find a mentor, somebody who's already been there, done that, and has the recipe, has the script, has the formula, whatever you want to call it. It's already been figured out. Go make yourself valuable to somebody who's already succeeded in a way that you want to, and you're going to leapfrog 10 years worth of trial and error by getting the recipe on a single 3x5 note card. That is worth 10 years worth of effort to get. So whatever you need to do to get a mentor, do it, because it'll put you 10 years ahead of where alternate universe you didn't get a mentor. I would rather be mentor Jonathan rather than figure it out myself Jonathan, because now I've got 10 years ahead of me to put it into practice and gain the benefits rather than struggle for 10 years and then go, boy, I wish I would have had a mentor.
Yeah, that's super powerful on like mentoring. I know that's super important, and going at it alone is just a hard road to take, but full of, you know, information and lessons. As like a trainer, and in a way, I'm sure you mentor a ton of people, is there any advice you could give on how to find a correct mentor? I know a big part is, you know, find someone in the area of what you want to do, but is there any like certain qualities or things you should look out for when searching for that?
Being coachable is the number one thing. If I'm mentoring somebody, I'm not here to debate you. I'm not here to convince you. I'm here to share with you tried and true strategies and processes that get results. So being open to coaching and actually putting it into practice, those are the two things that are going to make or break a mentor-mentee relationship. Because if I am sharing what I've done to make a boatload of money and help a bunch of people, I'm not interested in hearing the other side. I'm just being devil's advocate here. I'm just going to push back. No, like that's, I don't want to waste my time. Or if I share a whole bunch of stuff and then you go, oh, that's great. And then a year goes by and you haven't done anything. Why in the world am I going to invest my time and expertise in somebody who's not going to put it into practice? You just took a year away from somebody else who could have put it into practice and gotten results with it. So yeah, you as a mentee have an obligation to your mentor to actually do what it is that they're asking you to do or telling you what works.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I think another big thing for mentors and stuff is instead of asking or saying we should do something different, they should say like, why are we doing it this way?
Right. If you want to understand the why behind it for sure, a lot of times it's kind of like a toddler asking why.
Yeah.
Just why? Why this? Why this? Why this? And that's a great substitute to make you feel like you're doing something without actually having to do anything. So when somebody comes back with why, I often say, well, go try it 20 times, then come back and ask me questions.
Okay.
Instead of getting caught in that ask hole trap, right? where you're substituting asking questions for, you know, going and doing the thing. Because doing the thing 10, 20 times will answer most of your questions. Most of your questions are just fear showing up as this is useful.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds like so true. I think people don't even think about like, you know, implementing what they're doing and kind of, you know, not only asking why, but if that's why, and you don't even understand the system of it and you want to try and change it, where are you going to, if you don't even understand it, you're not going to make a big change.
Right.
Right. Awesome. Yeah. That's really huge. So for your training, do you do a lot of training just in groups or would you say like mentoring wise, would you do, I guess, more one-on-one, or how would you kind of go about if you were back to where you started and needed a mentor, would you just try and jump into anything you could get a hold on to?
I moved across country to be with my mentor. So I took extraordinary action to go make myself valuable to my mentor, to the person who I knew I needed to learn from. And I was willing to leave everything and everyone I knew in order to go learn from this person. So I don't really believe in half-assed efforts. So most of what people think they're willing to do, they're not actually willing to do it to get that relationship. So it's not just, oh, go find somebody local or go have coffee with somebody once a week. No, I mean, you've got to completely sacrifice your life on the altar of success, because if what you're doing right now is not getting you what you want, you've got to completely do everything different because what you're doing now isn't working. So there aren't really small changes you can make. Wake up 5 minutes earlier. Don't buy that coffee and you'll be wealthy. I think that kind of advice is absolutely just wacky. So yeah, you've got to do what you need to do to the point of completely changing everything in order to make those connections.
Yeah. Wow. Sacrifice your life on the altar of success. That's awesome. I really like that statement, and it's so powerful because I think that, you know, a lot of things in today are so small, simple changes, you know, and it's kind of different to hear the perspective of no, like make a huge gap in whatever you've been doing because it's not working, you know. Is there any like specific habits and things that you just had to really cut out of your life or put into your life that you were like, yo, like everything I'm doing is not working. I'm going to completely switch to this. And like you said, you moved across the country. What like kind of all came from that?
Well, for me, let me think. Sorry, it's almost, it's almost always more valuable to stop doing the thing that's wrecking your life than it is to try to do something better.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Because most people don't know what those are. And a zero being averaged in to your life has a huge effect. So you could start something that's awesome But if you keep doing the thing that's sabotaging your success, I don't care how great that new thing is, your pattern of behavior is still going to undermine it.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's almost always more important to cut out than it is to add on. Right? So there's that old saying that perfection isn't when there's nothing left to add, but when there's nothing left to remove. So whatever your habits are that are destroying your relationships, your life, your health, your time management, cut those out. And that will do more than anything I could tell you to actively do beyond having a physical practice of exercise and martial arts. Go learn jujitsu or Wing Chun. Like I love doing Wing Chun. So that would be my sole positive suggestion is go learn martial arts. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
Awesome. Yeah. I think there's a place like 15 minutes down from me. I'm going to have to go check it out now.
That's awesome.
That. Yeah. I'm going to try it. So on that, like, yeah, just having mental and physical sides of everything and just kind of having all those connect, that's such an interesting perspective on, you know, sometimes I think we do focus on adding things in rather than just taking them out. Do you have any tips or final kind of pointers on how to do that and how to move forward with a mentor positively?
Well, let me put it into context for folks to help appreciate kind of what I'm talking about. Because say I do my 70-minute mind reading show for a client. I've worked with BP, State Farm, United Airlines. Okay, cool. Now imagine some grown person, some adult comes up to me after my show and then they say, hey, tell me how you did that. What's the trick? Tell me the trick. I'm going to say, well, there is no trick. It's kind of like playing piano. It's years of skill and dedication and practice to be able to do these things. It's not a gift. I wasn't born able to do this stuff. So there you go. Right?
Yeah.
Second layer is, oh, I love mentalism. I go, great. And then they go, hey, how did you do that thing? Then I ask them, well, what books have you read? What have you tried? Who did you learn from? And they go, oh, I haven't really read anything. I'm interested though. Now I know that they're not interested. They're just being polite. They're trying to connect, but they're not actually interested. So I'll go, oh yeah, there's some great resources. Go to any library, any beginner's magic book has some beginner mind reading routines in there. And if you have any questions, here's my email follow up about it. And I'd love to give you some pointers. Well, now they actually have to do something in order to demonstrate that they're actually interested. Why am I going to give before they've demonstrated that they're going to give their attention? Then the third level is somebody that goes, I love mentalism. I've bought these books. I've read these books. I love this person, this creator. Here's a routine I'm working on. And here's the trouble I'm having with it. Good luck shutting me up because we're going to go have lunch afterwards and we're going to talk for 4 hours. And then I'm going to email other resources after that. Right. So if you're trying to get a mentor, be the third kind of person. Demonstrate that you've already been working towards success. Be able to explain what it is you've already tried to do and what challenges you've been facing rather than being the first person who goes, hey, I want you to be my mentor. Okay, why do you want me to be your mentor? Because you're awesome. Okay, what have you done? Oh, nothing. I'm just interested. Thank you, but no thank you.
Right. Yeah.
So demonstrate competence, demonstrate curiosity by actually putting in the work, then mentors will help you win even faster rather than trying to convince somebody to do what it is that I do. Like I'm not in the convincing business.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. That's such a good point. And I think honestly, that will help a ton of people that are just starting out on how to even, you know, start that conversation with a huge mentor, which I feel like could be nerve-wracking if you're not even already invested.
Exactly. Exactly.
Awesome. So I know that you are extremely involved in like the community and helping others in doing trainings and speaking and just any type of, you know, marketing, negotiating, any type of that. I just want to ask at the end here, if you want to give our audience any like good information on what you do or how to reach you or where to find you online and how to reach out. Cause I know you have a bunch of books as well. So.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. That's a wonderful invitation. I really do appreciate it.
Yeah.
So the best way that I help the most people is at trade shows. So if you work at a company or you own a company that exhibits at trade shows, I can do a lot to help you there. If you got a sales team, I can help out there as well. If you're a national conference organizer and you need a keynote speaker, great, I'm your man. If you need a MC, I'm your man. If you have a message that needs to connect with an audience, I'm your man. So that's the main way that I help on a professional level. And if you're personally interested in my work and that kind of stuff, I've got so many websites, but the easiest one to go to is icanreadminds.com. That will forward you to my personal website and all my social links where you can connect with me there. So yeah, that's pretty much it. All my links to my books are there too. And that's the hub that everything connects to.
Awesome. Yeah. Would you have a recommendation on which book would you say is the best or most your favorite?
Yes. I'm not one of those people that are like, oh, my books are like my children. No way to decide. No, one is clearly better than the others.
Oh, awesome.
And it is Think Like a Mind Reader. It will teach you a whole bunch of skills on a whole bunch of different levels that you're not even aware of until you're done with it. And even then, still reach out to me because there are some levels to it that most people don't see that I'd like to point out once you finish. So if you do read it, please reach out to me afterwards. I still want to blow your mind about it.
Awesome. Yeah, I love that. There's always more to get in between the lines, I'm sure. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on today. I appreciate all your time. And I hope that, you know, every mentor out there or someone looking for mentors out there is just full of new information on how to go about that, because that was so useful.
Well, thank you very much for the opportunity to share my thoughts. I really deeply appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you. So do we. All right, guys, that's it for the Local Crown podcast. We appreciate you tuning in today and we'll see you next time.
Thanks so much for tuning in. I hope you learned something. If you have questions, email us at info@thelocalcrown.com. And if you want to get featured in our publication, Inside the Empire, alongside John Lee Dumas, the Entrepreneur on Fire, Jason Waller, the CEO of Power Home Solar, Sharon Lecter, Dan Caldwell, the man that started Tap Out, and the limitless man himself, Jim Quick, for free, then head over to thelocalcrown.com/become a contributor.